From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious day here in the High Tatras Mountains on the east side of Slovakia in the town of Poprad. I'm Eric Wiltshire, and that's why we call the programme Postcard from Poprad, because that's where I am. It's wonderful. The mountains are still covered in snow. There's people up there skiing. And down here, it's interesting. The skirts have got tremendously shorter in a week. I wonder why that is. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than my old comrade in arms, Lee Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. It's beautiful here today, too. I went for a country stroll. The rabbits were playing, moo cows were mooing, the village idiots were out there. Hello, they'd say. Hello, I'd reply, trying to fit in. Do you live round here, they'd say. I've been here 20 years, you thick clodhoppers. I'd reply, I've never accepted the locals, you know, Eric.
Yeah, and you still write like a tabloid journalist, don't you?
That wasn't written.
That wasn't it. My gosh, he's practiced it. Normally we'd be introducing Mark Gander from the Consumer Action Group at this point, but unfortunately he's had to disappear off to London with no net access. Which doesn't
no what?
No net access.
Oh, his hairnet. Oh, yes, I remember.
No, which doesn't surprise me in London, because they're already wondering about the chances of the net collapsing when the Olympics are on due to extended traffic. Hello, it's supposed to be a Western capital city.
And there's no parking around the Olympics.
No.
So what are they talking about?
I have no idea what they're talking about at all.
Idiot.
Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, you lovely folks on Audio Boo. Thanks to all the new subscribers, by the way. That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
And you wonderful folks on RTI, Radio Tatras International, or RTI.fm. Whitney Houston, at long last we found out what really happened. And I have to say, the red top journalists, as we call them in the UK, namely the tabloid press, got it right.
Yeah, they said they found a trace of blood in her system.
No, that's not what they said.
What I said.
Is it what you said? apparently, poor Whitney did die of cocaine usage. And that just brings me on to the point, don't. It ain't worth it.
It's not to be sniffed at. No, don't do it.
Very
no,
good.
No, really, you're right. It is. That's right. And I'm sorry I used that terrible pun at the beginning, but that is the tabloid way. We knew what had happened to her.
Yeah.
We knew what had happened to her. We were in trouble for knowing what had happened to her.
Mm.
And lo and behold, we've been cleared again.
True. And it was also exacerbated by problems she'd got with heart disease as well, which is hence why she drowned in the bath. But it's
still sad. Still sad.
Very much so. And I'm sure she will be one of those singers that will be sung at weddings for years to come, which I can never understand why some of her songs are played at weddings when they're actually quite sad.
That's right. I know at mine I had Please Release Me by another Umpud.
Yeah, that was a good link to later on in the programme. wherever you are in the world, I guess that BBC natural history programmes are shown. And if this one is shown, you've got to see it, boys and girls. it's a programme called Deadly 60 Crew, which is on the children's channels from the BBC in the UK.
Why would it be on a children's channel?
Because it's all a bit, it's sort of filmed with them in mind.
Well, yeah, I can imagine what you chuck them to, yeah.
Stop it. And it's by a guy called Steve Backshall, who's quite well known for doing these programmes.
Yeah.
And Steve went off to film some Komodo dragons. And the idea was that he wanted to see if he could get the Komodo dragons. And if you haven't seen them, they're rather large animals. Where do they live, Lee?
Well, actually, I when we talked about this story earlier on, I got it totally wrong. I was thinking about commodes. I was thinking about when it used to work in an old folks' home, and I thought the dragons were... I don't know, Eric. Well, they live on a little island in the Pacific Ocean. They mainly do live genuinely on an island. They don't
one
get
island,
onto
isn't
the
it?
Mainland.
Yeah.
They don't get onto the mainland.
No.
And they are gigantic.
Yes.
Absolutely gigantic.
And allegedly, they have eaten people in the past.
They do. They eat people if people are there. Yeah,
they typically eat sort of, I don't know, large animals like cow-sized animals and things like that. But anyway, Steve decided it would be a cool idea to figure out if Komodo dragons could climb up trees to get some meat.
Silly Billy.
So he hangs meat up, and after a little while, these very docile animals normally...
They're not docile, they're very slow.
Yeah, they are. Slow,
but when they move...
Oof. And so he ties the meat up the trees. Idiot. And the dragons wake up, and... What happens next is that the dragons don't go for the meat up the trees. They see human beings on legs and go, mobile food. And they start chasing the camera crew. They are really running for their lives. And Steve Blackshaw's going, run, run, run. And it's kind of hysterical, really, how it all backfires on the natural history team. But definitely worth a watch. Deadly 60 Crew, the Komodo Dragons Hunt with Steve Blackshaw. And you have to be careful when you say that.
The thing with them, though, I'd just like to chuck one in, because this is true.
They're heavy. You can't chuck one in.
Oh, come on, you find a Komodo dragon, mate, and talk about those kids. Chuck one of them in. Get out. I'll tell you, no, because honestly, what they do, and this is the truth, they knock you out with the breath. Their breath is so bad.
They've got venom in their bite.
And in the bite. They knock you out with the breath, bite you with the venom, then eat you. They're only a big lizard.
You sound like a bloke on a children's TV channel.
Do I?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
I don't know. But anyway, this is an interesting story. One Directioner, which are the contestants in The X Factor...
What are you doing to me, Eric?
I don't know. They've topped the US charts and topped the Beatles by doing it, because it's their debut album that's come out, which only went to number two in the UK charts back in December. They've gone number one in America with their debut album, something that even the Beatles didn't manage to do, and yet a former X Factor group...
I'm not helping you out on this.
No,
I can hear you flagging.
I am a bit. The band member Harry said reaching number one was a dream come true for the group.
Can you tell, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not joining in because I think it's a rubbish story. He's just flagging. And band member Harry said, dark days indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else. Dark days indeed. When this... There's only one direction left of music, and that's down the Komodo.
And I always used to think that, you know, when the charts in England were really, really, really bad, you went over to the Billboard charts in the US, and they were still quite respectable.
Well, that's right, that's right. Yeah, I think that. But why don't you think that now?
Well, if they can put the X Factor...
Is this a Billboard chart one?
Yes!
God, it's even worse, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else.
What are you doing in America? Their debut album at number one, and you didn't even put the Beatles at number one.
Well, I don't mind not putting the Beatles at number one, like, you know, but this is even worse. If I had a choice between the Beatles and Emperor Bert Blumplestink and One Direction... I know who I'd choose. Empelbert Blumplestink.
Well, that's true as well. Anyway, this is really going to annoy Lee even worse. Sunita and Sonia will be back for a PWL reunion gig.
Do you want to end up doing this show by yourself? I'll go off with Mark.
What? It's going to include...
Jason Donovan.
Yes, Sunita, Steps... Sonia, and from your part of the world, never going to give you up, never going to let you down, Rick Ashley.
He even knows the words.
If this was video, I'd do the video dance for you as well.
Pete Waterman actually does live very near me. And I don't know if he's still got it, but he has trains, you know, steam trains.
He does. He's mad on steam trains. Live
streaming trains, yeah. Mm-hmm. And... my friend, who shall remain nameless, actually, because he sold his trains to Pete Waterman.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I've never actually spoken to Pete, although I've respected him. But Mike Stock...
How can you respect a man who puts music like that out?
Because he made popular music for popular masses.
Yes, but he made it for the brain-dead popular masses who were the village idiots round here who have been out to see it. How could he be classed as somebody?
They made me a lot of money when I was a DJ. Thank you.
He made you a lot of money.
I love them.
Play songs.
I love them. And Mike Stock, wonderful guy, actually.
Okay, he lives around the corner from me.
Yeah, Mike Stock's a nice guy, actually. I chatted to him on several occasions about a well-known artist from this part of the world. But that's beside the point. So if you want to go and see him, it's London's Hyde Park on the 11th of July.
Why would you want to go and see this?
Because there's Rick Ashley, Bananarama, Pepsi and Shirley, Brother Beyond.
Who's Brother Beyond? What did he do?
And also Dead and Alive. You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Is that what they did? Who's Lonnie Gordon?
Oh, Police.
He wasn't in the Police at all. You're just making that up.
Police. Hazel Dean, Princess, Sybil, Lonnie Gordon, and...
Who is Lonnie Gordon?
Oh, God.
Let me stop you there. You give me one
I've
song.
I've been practicing this, and then... No, there's no limit to Unlimited. And the concert will be headlined by Steps, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, no, Steps, what did they do? Did they ever actually do a song? I thought they'd dance.
Do you not like Rachel out of Steps?
Only in a connubial sense.
So if Stock Aitken and Waterman were so bad, how come they got 100 UK top 40 hits during the 90s, 80s and 90s?
Because all the clod-hopping village idiots round here went out and bought them.
I'm getting my lurch moment coming on again.
Your hand's going to come out of a box.
Yes, that's right. No, that's Thing.
That's right, yeah.
Hyde Park, July the 11th. I'll be looking forward to getting the DVD of that for sure.
I'll be looking forward to going there and... Well, honestly, it's disgusting.
Why?
Because it's just disgusting. Honestly, why don't we... my headphones keep coming off. Why don't we talk about proper things like Bob Dylan's coming to... He's travelling in Venezuela. He's doing Venezuela, dear.
But we don't have a lot of listeners in Venezuela.
Don't we?
No. Statistically, our biggest set of audience in order is Slovakia, UK and America.
So we're just pandering to the lowest common denominator of our listenership, the people who want to go to Hyde Park to play with Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Oh, I'm just jealous I can't be there.
I think you're just jealous because you can't think of anything else to say like I can't. Should we move on?
Well, there is one consolation prize.
Oh, you don't get a prize as well. What if you turn up, you get a prize?
No, the consolation prize is no Bob Dylan.
I'll tell you what, that is a consolation.
It is.
He would not lower himself to appear. Who's Hazel Dean?
Oh, please. Lee,
Sybil.
Look. Lee.
Sybil.
Lee.
She's our faulty talent.
Having this concert without Bob is going to save a fortune.
Well, it is, because you'd have to pay him. These are all just because they're all has-beens who've never done anything.
No.
And can't get work
it just saves building a temporary mountain in Hyde Park for people to jump off it because the songs are so morose.
The only reason you've got Dead or Alive, Princess Hazel Dean, Sybil, Lonnie Gordon and Two Unlimited there is because they're all out of work and living on park benches.
Uh-huh. Next time you come to Pop Rad, I'll remind Martina that you don't like Two Unlimited.
What did Two Unlimited do? Go on, give us a rendition of Two Unlimited.
I've just done it. No limit.
No.
You just can't, really, boys and girls, can you? What decade did you come from? But I'm going to go, what century did you come from?
All right. What about, right? The ones who did. Right, this is pop music, but it's good pop music. Yeah. Those who did Sushi and the Pink Robots.
What?
Sushi and the Pink Robots and the Yeah 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 song where it goes no 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 no.
Is that a pop song?
It's a brilliant, probably one of the best pop songs ever written by that band whose name's escaped me, that masculine band.
Ah.
The one band with the big hands who used to use the big hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking of Kenny Everett.
It was his hands. After he died, they acquired his hands. And they used to use them. Yeah.
Nokia of filed a patent in the US.
It's disgusting.
It's unbelievable. But the trouble is I'm trying to keep it clean.
good job Mark's not here.
Yeah, absolutely. Vibrating.
The word vibrating and he'd be off.
Vibrating magnetic tattoos may one day be used to alert mobile phone users to phone calls and text messages if Nokia follows up on a patent application. In other words, you'll have this little thing embedded in your arm like a tattoo and it will ring and vibrate to let you know. Can you just imagine? You're just about to have a glass of wine and the phone goes and you go blub as the wine goes everywhere. Marvellous. What a great idea that is.
What if you were in the Gentleman's Ablution having a micturation with your downstairs apparatus in your hand and it went off?
People standing next to you get wet shoes?
That's the cleaned up version of it, yes.
No,
right, quite seriously, may I ask you a question? On this, as you are an IT hero.
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't know. And the fact is...
it's ludicrous.
Apparently, the magnetic field may cause vibration of a short pulse-type nature. Yeah. And that's exactly what they use for these devices that are supposed to get you skinnier when you're fatter. These electronic devices where you put the pads on, you go and squeezes in. Have you ever tried putting that? No, don't do this at home. I've already done it, so you don't do it.
Have a try now while you're telling me.
You put the pads on your arm and go, and it goes zoop, and your hand flies off in all directions.
What pads?
Pads.
What pads?
The one that come with the anti-fatty machines.
Those. I've been on a vibrating machine that you slap it around your derriere and it makes you wobble all over the place. Everybody else thinks it's really funny, but you feel sick.
Right.
I've done it with that.
But apparently, this could be attached to either the user's arm, abdominal area.
That's your stomach, ladies and gentlemen.
A finger or a fingernail.
Why would you have it on your fingernail?
I have no idea, but back to the same plot. You're just about to put the bit of the cream cake in your mouth, and your phone rings, and it goes splat all over your face. Marvellous.
Now it'd be funny. Now I like it. Now I want one. If you're getting on a bit.
No, what you could do is you could give them to your non-friends for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then just at the moment it's Christmas dinner time, you phone them up very quickly, one after the other, and they all get covered in wine.
Or gravy.
Or gravy.
Or white sauce.
Or any other sauce.
Any other sauce that we might be able to mention.
Yeah, no. Enough of your sauce.
I'm thinking, quite seriously, I think this would have a medical application as well. Because, you know, when you get on a bit and, you're a bit tired, you could have it set up on your alarm clock so the vibration will get your heart going in the morning.
So what does it do at night then? Go to sleep?
Well, vibration sometimes helps.
BP have given consent for a deep water well in the west of Shetland, which is up in the north, way past Scotland. And there's a bit of a stink about this one, Lee.
Well, there is, but I've got to tell you, I'm just scrolling through down to this story. And it's vanished.
What do you mean? It's vanished.
The story about BP. Oh, well, I found it now. It was a bit further on than I thought.
No.
BP, given consent for deep water well north.
Boys and girls, it's on page 2 of his script.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Go on.
I just got a bit confused by where.
What, you mean going from page 1 to page 2 confused you?
Yes, I got confused. I can't help it. I was thinking about vibrating in the morning.
Stop it. Right. Yeah. So.
What did you ask me? What did you want me to tell you?
Well, why is there such a sort of hoo-ha about this thing?
Well, I think the basic question that needs to be asked, and I would ask this question, in fact, I am going to ask it.
Mm.
What happened to all the other oil that we had? Where did that go? What happened to North Sea oil? Why all of a sudden?
It was mainly gas, that's why.
Why didn't they call it North Sea gas then instead of oil and confuse everybody by everybody thinking, where's all the oil gone then? It's gone up in flames, it's gas.
Well, something like that, yeah. But the thing is that oil has been used by your motor car when you had one.
I wanted to talk to you about that as well, actually. I'm quite serious about that. No, I want to go back on this because, no. North Sea oil did not solely consist of it being gas.
No, it wasn't solely.
It consisted of a lot of oil that we gave away. Like, we gave away our gold reserves. Mm. Like, we gave away all our money. We gave this oil away. So now, why are we starting off again? All the oil's gone.
I think they gave it away for money, Lee.
Well, you're supposed to put it in your car.
They gave it away for money, Lee.
Yeah, but they didn't give it away for enough money, did they?
Well, all right, maybe not.
We are supposed to, we were at that time supposed to be self-sufficient in oil. And do you realise that in Britain, as of Tuesday of this week, petrol is now just under £8 a gallon.
We're coming to that in a minute. The WWF, which is the Wild...
You're just telling me to shut up, then?
No. The World Wildlife Fund, Scotland guy, said new deep water drilling is just not worth the risk because we could be phasing out our use of oil instead of chasing ever more difficult sources. Don't be a pillock, Dr. Richards.
Well,
don't
be silly. If they are trying to phase out oil, why would they do it? I agree with him. And also, just think of BP's painful experience in the Gulf of Mexico 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do we really want that up our roost?
Yeah, but it's not going to be the same people controlling it like they did out there. Because it wasn't BP alone, Lee.
Well, it wasn't BP alone, but they had quite a lot to do with it, I'm really upset to say.
Well, I know that, but it'll be different bodies over there. But the truth is, if you've got a natural resource that is still there, and if they've done all the right kind of seismographic checks beforehand, then it could be an amazing thing for the people of Shetland, who basically have got very, very little income and just rely on a bit of fishing and tourism. It could give certain people an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, but they'll have a big fat derrick in the back gardens, won't they? And things like that. But also, quite serious, being quite serious about this, that, you know, BP are saying that we are investing billions of pounds in the long-term future of our UK business, and exploration is an important part.
They won't see the derricks.
That's like an Eric with a D. But you will see it. Well, you can see him. You can see him off Blackpool. You can see him off Wales.
But
you can see him everywhere.
It's 78 miles away, which in new money is 125 kilometres from the islands. It's a long way away. It's not on your doorstep, is it?
Well, it's in the middle of your sea.
Yeah, the bit
it's
you can see.
When you go swimming, it says you can see.
78 miles away, you're going to go swimming out there.
If I was in the Shetlands, I'd go for a quick dip, yeah. But they say that since the 1970s, they've safely produced over 800 million barrels of oil from that area. Mm. Well, why are we paying so much for bloody petrol? Said that bloody word again, I'm sorry. But why are we paying so much? Why do we have no oil of our own when they have safely produced over 800 million barrels of oil from that area? They say it. Why do we not put some sort of safeguard on this new investment in our oil that makes us self-sufficient instead of selling it to the Arabs and then going to blow up their countries to try and get it back? Why don't we make us safe?
Done it. Finished.
Had
you ranked?
It wasn't. That was intelligent.
I thought it was a little rant. There may be some clues to help Lee out here a bit in the form of male baldness. They reckon they figured out what it is.
Yeah, you all know that I am bald. The one thing I am in this life is bald. I have no hair at all. I am the most hirsute man in this world.
Mm. I agree. And 24...
You're balder than me!
I'm not!
I'm not even bald anyway. Why did I say you're balder than me? I'm not bald. I've got hair everywhere. I'm one of the hairiest men I've ever met. If I lie down on a carpet, a shagpile carpet, it's like Velcro. I can't get up again.
Well, apparently they found that a key protein, which I can't pronounce, something or other, D, synthesis something...
I'm going to go in a bit.
Yeah, go on, you practice it, you have a go. Elevated the cells of hair follicles, which is the bit where your hair comes out from, located in bald patches on the scalp, but not in hairy areas.
Prostaglandin. That's an amalgam of two words, isn't it?
Looks like it to me. It's very scientific.
Yeah, it's a gland and a prostate.
No.
So it's a straight gland, which creates, right, that stuff that I suffer from greatly, which is testosterone, and you don't have much of.
What's that for, then?
Testosterone, that makes you a man.
How does it?
Puny.
Is that why you keep calling me a big girl all the time, then?
You're just the blouse that the big girl puts on, dear.
And finally, part one of Postcard from Pop Rap for this week. The tablet that once was good for you, then it was bad, appears to be good for you again. According to some new research which has been published in The Lancet magazine, daily aspirin can possibly prevent and treat cancer.
I wish it could treat what I keep doing.
Thank God it's not smelly vision. Many people take daily aspirin as a heart drug. They do because allegedly it thins down the blood. But the downside of that, it can cause stomach bleeding if you take too many aspirins. But I must admit, my late father, who got to the grand old age of 80, took an aspirin every day.
Well, I can't see how taking an aspirin every day can really do the majority of people any great harm. And it can only possibly do you good. And I think in cases like this, you should discuss it with your doctor. See what your doctor's got to say. If he says, look, you've got something wrong. You live in
England.
Yeah?
How long does it take to see a doctor?
Well, you get about 3 minutes.
No, but how long does it take to see one?
Well, if you stand outside the surgery, you go when it's closing time, you can usually see two or three passing you.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Not enough of them. I mean, out in Slovakia, boys and girls, I'm not joking or boasting, I've actually got six doctors who I can phone up at any time of the day or night.
Six? Why?
Well, one is me normal GP. Then I have one for my asthma.
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. He's off again, and right. This is what's up with me.
No.
I'm going to tell you what's up with me.
No. And they do it as preventative medicine, really. It's not where you have a problem. When you get to a certain age in your life as a man, you go for tests automatically, and you have a doctor for boys' areas. Automatically.
Boys' areas? What, do you mean like for the pub?
No. And because I've been on radio for too many years and had loud headphones on for too many years and they wrecked my ears, I have an ENT doctor who helps me out to keep my hearing good.
Ear, nose and throat doctor?
Yes.
Honest to God, ladies and gentlemen. So what's that he's got wrong with? He's broken every bone in his body. He's fell off every motorbike he's had. He's got asthma.
I haven't fallen off all of them.
He's something wrong with his ears, his nose, his throat. His fingers, his legs, his feet, his eyes. He's bald.
No.
He's bald. He's a big girl's blouse.
Yes. And that's the end of part one. That's the end of part one. Postcard from Pop Rap will be back faster than you can do whatever you want to do in the ad break.
RTI.